In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sin isn't really in. I think in the last few years I've heard fewer sermons that really get explicit about specific sins. And kind of like at least one aspect of that, because it seems to me that we can get bogged down in looking at commandments 2 through 10 and forget that underneath that all runs the first commandment. And that especially when we're preaching to Christians, getting back to fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things isn't a bad idea. On the other hand, I worry that we are very easily drawn into the kind of general attitude of our culture, which simply doesn't want to take sins very seriously. We have enough money, I think, to buy ourselves out of most difficult situations. We find ways to justify, in one way or another, all sorts of evil things that we think and do simply because of the inevitability of, you know, just being boys or whatever. And so I fear that we're finding for ourselves also ever less reason to take sin seriously. God takes sin seriously, Isaiah points out in our text. For a long time, he holds his peace. That's one translation. That silence of holding the peace, that's a strange expression. In Alan Payton's novel, Too Late, the, however you pronounce, phalarope, the grandmother says that she probably should have said something to her grandson caught in his sin earlier, but she held his peace. She held her peace and destroyed the peace of her grandson, of herself, of the entire family. But God holds his peace. His patience seems inexhaustible. He lets us get away with things we'd never let our kids get away with. But finally, he has enough. He shrieks, Isaiah says, with anguish and pain over the deafness and the blindness of his children. And that shriek echoes across the valleys and smashes mountains. Rocks that seemed solid and secure shatter, they splinter, they collapse. Like a mother giving birth, his screams pierce the ears, they impale the pretensions and deceits and perverted plans of people like you and me, and of entire societies. And he brings them just to fall together on themselves. He imposes upon them darkness and blindness. And as we look around us, we find it fairly easy to see that in our own culture. It's more difficult to see how that culture, with its individualism and its materialism, with its I did it my way credo, has permeated our own way of life. But in the end, at the end of our lesson, God is still there. He's not going to forsake his people. His righteousness, which Luther defined as his mercy, his steadfast loving kindness, his righteousness makes it necessary that he broadcast his Torah, his instruction. He comes after us to renew the conversation that we try to break off when we simply run away and ignore him. In Eden, he ran after Adam and Eve right away and said, "Where are you?" And he has come looking for us after centuries of watching the horizon for the prodigals to return. He sent the Good Shepherd into the den of our denial and destructive rejection of his word, our doubt, to find us. If you want to see how serious God really takes sins, don't look at his smashing of mountains. Look at how chapter 42 begins with the first of Isaiah's servant songs. That's how serious God feels about our sin. He sends his servant, his son, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. He comes as a dimly burning wick, a bruised reed himself, to us barely smoldering wicks, us stepped on reeds. And although this servant was prosperous, exalted, elevated to the highest heights, he appeared before us distorted in his appearance, beyond recognition as a human being, smitten, stricken, and afflicted. Your getting out of line and mine has caused God's servant to be crushed. Your crossing the line and mine caused God's servant to be wounded. Our going astray has caused God's servant to take on our unrighteousness, our denial of our God-given identity as God's children. He took it upon his own back and he died under its weight. God's very serious about our sin. But through the servant and through us, the servant's servants, the Creator now comes to magnify his teaching. He comes to talk personally with us and to remind us that he has called us to be children whom he has freed from blindness, whom he has freed from deafness, whom he has freed from the prisons of our own false conceptions of how the world ought to go. He has liberated us so that we can be part of his world, part of his family, and go with his family into his world to heal and to open eyes and to liberate those who are behind the bars of their own false systems of finding identity, security, and meaning for themselves. God has given you and me the privilege of carrying on the work of Isaiah in delivering the goods that the servant has acquired for us. What a God! That's the way he is as we approach the third Sunday in Lent in our Lord's year 2014. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.